Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone,
the mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown.
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Tuesday, October 16th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Engels. Scotty, how you doing now that week six is in the books?
Doing pretty good. Good week. I scored over 150 points in four leagues and over 165 in three. So a little bit of an explosive week in some spots.
Yeah, I had a pretty good week as well. You know, I think I'm in like six or seven fantasy leagues that I care about, and the three that I matter most to me. Either because of the stakes or because of my competition. I won in all of those leagues, you know. Me and Blewett continue to roll in our Carton League. We are 6-0 in that one. My longtime Dynasty League, I'm in first place, 5-1. And I'm coming back in the GST League, back to 500, back to contention over at 3-3, you know, in a playoff position now that we are halfway through. But I digress. The people who are in also a playoff position are the Green Bay Packers after a win on Monday night, 33-30. I don't know if you were listening to the telecast, but as Jason Witten said, Aaron Rodgers pulled a rabbit out of the head in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were down, and they did. I don't know if you heard that, Scotty, but that's what Jason Witten called
yeah,
it, so that's what I'm going to call it. Aaron Rodgers, though, continuing to look like Superman yet again, 425 yards, two touchdowns. You know, it looked for a while. I think the arc of this game was like, nah, the 49ers aren't going to win. Nah, the 49ers aren't going to win. Wow, the 49ers might win. Nah, the 49ers aren't going to win. Oh, wait, the 49ers are going to win. Nah, the 49ers aren't going to win. And that's kind of how it went down, and Aaron Rodgers pulled the rabbit out of his head and now has a Week 7 bye, but it looked like he might have re-aggravated that knee a little bit on the very end.
I'm not worried about this knee anymore. It's like he re-aggravated. Okay. People talk about the heavier brace, et cetera. That's
right.
The type of injury he could have re-injured himself on, but... you know, maybe he could have injured himself for the first time on something like that. Aaron Rodgers is playing very well despite the knee injury. He's nimble in the pocket. He's not favoring it at all. He's dancing around, and he's not playing like he has a knee injury, and he's still looking like Aaron Rodgers. So, look, if you're in a two-quarterback league, just handcuff to Sean Kizer. That's all you can really do, but you can't worry about Aaron Rodgers right now.
Okay, you also do not worry about his number one wide receiver, Davante Adams, who goes off for 10 catches, 132 yards, and two touchdowns. Davante Adams, we know, is a locked and loaded wide receiver one from week to week. Jimmy Graham coming off having a good game, 5 catches for 104 yards. He's benefiting by being kind of a trusted target now that Cobb and Allison are out. And I got to ask you, Scotty, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, only 3 catches, but, you know, kind of a big play kind of guy, 103 yards. He had the back shoulder catch on the last drive, had a 60-yard catch in the game as well. Let's spin this forward, Scotty. I mean, after the bye week, you have to assume that for the Packers that Cobb and or Allison will return. Does that make Valdes-Scantling just you know, kind of irrelevant once again, or has he carved out a role where he deserves some snaps and targets, even if these guys do come back in week 8 for the Packers?
If they come back the next 2 weeks, they're ahead of him on the depth chart, so he becomes the fourth guy in the pecking order, so he's not relevant once they come back. But he'll be relevant from an NFL perspective, but not from a fantasy perspective.
All right, I want to ask you about the other side of things, specifically Raheem Mostert. You know, it looks like he took Alfred Morris's role on this team. You know, a lot of people going into this, we thought it was Breida and Mostert, then Breida got hurt, and we were thinking Alfred Morris was a popular waiver wire pickup. We thought he would be the guy to carry the mail, but it was Mostert who got 12 carries, 87 yards, leads the team in rushing, and it looks like he is the timeshare along with Breida, who himself goes 14 for 61 and a touchdown. What happened to Alfred Morris, Scott?
Oh, he got one carry. That was it. It baffled everybody because there was no reports of him being inactive / benched, anything. And they just came out with a different game plan. And Raheem Mostert, you know, pretty much journeyman until this point in his career. You know, he showed good vision, good juke, good patience, etc. So this could be a timeshare going forward with Raheem Mostert and Matt Breida.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit later on in tonight's show about today's show about the waivers at each position. Mostert is probably is one of the most heavily added guys as I look on Yahoo at least right now. Are you okay putting in a claim, spending some fab budget on Mostert? Or you think this was a one-week thing? You think Morris comes back? You think it doesn't matter because Breed is there? Or do you think it doesn't matter because the 49ers' offense is not an offense you want to be having shares of?
I'd put in something for him. I still think he's the number two back there, but he's number two out of two there. It's clear that he, at least for now, he's vaulted over Alfred Morris, unless we start hearing more reports about did Morris have an illness or something like that.
Right.
Because, you know, they want to have maybe that inside runner maybe with a quick guy. But obviously it gave the offense more speed, though, so I think they kind of like what they saw. So we have to wait and see more what comes out with Alfred Morris. But you know, I think, you know, maybe you can roster this guy as like an RB5 right now.
Okay, and listen, with the bye weeks coming up, you never know what's going to happen. For the last couple of weeks, it's been two teams on a bye, Scott. But in the next 3 weeks, we have four, and then six teams on a bye. So the bye week crunch is going to be real. And some people who are trying to carry extra, you know, carry a second tight end or carry that guy who's been banged up and is going to be coming back in week 10, it's going to be harder and harder to do that over the next 3 weeks. So you should have the name Raheem Mostert on your radar. We'll talk more about other waiver wire ads a little bit later on in the show. The other guy I want to ask you about on the 49ers side, Scotty, you know, people dropped him because he was injured. I believe it was like a quad or a hammy that this guy had a few weeks ago. But he is back, and he had two touchdowns yesterday, including a big play 67-yard bomb over the top. I'm talking about world-class athlete Marquise Goodwin, four catches, 126 yards. It's clear to me that he's above Pierre Garçon in the pecking order. I mean, there's Kittle there as well, but on a week-to-week basis, it looks like C.J. Beathard is looking Marquise Goodwin's way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this was like a rebound performance because Goodwin has been quiet most of the year. And last night, he showed that he's healthy again. You know, he had quad hip problems. And last night, he bounced back to being the guy that we thought he was going to be on draft day. And a lot of people have cut him. And I think a lot of people are going to race back to the waiver wire to get him this week. And there's going to be heavy bidding for his services.
Okay, he's I look over on Yahoo, he's 45% owned. You know, I see guys like, listen, let's play a little name game. We'll get into the waivers a little bit more later on, Scotty, but as I look at the wide receiver position, Goodwin, 45% owned. Robbie Anderson, 55% owned. Mohamed Sanu, 50% owned. Of those three guys that are right around 50% owned, who would you put in a claim in first for?
I'd have to imagine Sanu's gone in a lot of really competitive leagues, but
50% owned.
Yeah, but you know, not all of those leagues are like competitive, but just like I'm saying more like leagues like well, I'm giving you frame of reference too, though. I'm saying in a hard, more intense league, Sanu's going to be owned. But in a public league like that, I would probably say, you know, I'd go for Goodwin first, and then probably Sanu, and I probably wouldn't bother with Anderson at all.
All right, fair enough. So, Scotty, we got to let the people know that if they, let's say they're down to 2-4 right now, okay? But they might have high, you know, a high point total. They're still in it, okay? They're still in it. So what they need to go is go on over to rotoexperts.com and get the Roto Experts exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package. There you get the Kings rankings. You get the fantasy executive on the blog, the Slack chat channel. You get great content to help you win your leagues and win that cash. Enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. I also want to tell people, Scotty, that listen, you mentioned it. We were talking before the break. The NBA tips off tonight, all right? And so people start to need using the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer. It's now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections for DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using, and you could use that for NBA DFS contests, all right? So that's the way to do it, okay? This DailyRoto.com has produced 7 millionaires on DraftKings and FanDuel, hundreds of thousands of cash in winners. We told you about Colin Drew, who had an amazing week last week, winning $70,000 on Sunday and another $150,000 on Monday. Honestly, if you're playing DFS and you're not using the DailyRoto tools, projections, and optimizers, you are doing it wrong and are at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, and enter the promo code FNTS. Why for a special discount and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on the Grow Premium tab. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. That's DailyRoto.com, the site where millionaires are made quite literally. Hey, Scotty, let me ask you this. Yesterday, I asked you, who do you think is going to win the AFC North? Remember? And because it was like Baltimore's 4-2, Cincy's 4-2, Pittsburgh's now at 3-2-1, you know, and some people are high on Baker Mania as well. And you were like, that's an interesting question. And I was saying, you know, you can kind of make an argument for almost any team. Scotty, I want to ask you the same exact thing. Not with the AFC North, but with the NFC North. I mean, in the NFC North, I think we have a similar situation. Right now, the Bears are 3-2. The Minnesota Vikings are 3-2-1. The Green Bay Packers, you know, won last night. They are 3-2-1. And, you know, the Detroit Lions are still around. Don't forget about them. They had their bye. You know, they had their bye this week, but they are 2-3 right behind them. Who wins the NFC North, Scotty, right now, in your opinion?
I don't think it's going to be Chicago or Green Bay. You know, Chicago's got the best defense, but they got a rookie quarterback. I would say, though, although your defense is, you know, it's more questionable how defenses play nowadays.
Yeah, we were just talking all yesterday that there is no defense if that's dominant.
Green Bay's lack of a running game and probably the worst defense in the division, I think, keeps them out of the conversation. If Minnesota plays to its potential, I think they can win the division. But Detroit is – their defense is not quite as good. So I'm still going to say Minnesota.
All right, Scotty is still riding with Minnesota, even though, listen, there is no perfect team in this division. The defense, we believe the defense will be strong, but it has given up points before. You're talking about a Minnesota team that has some questions on the offensive line. The Chicago team may have a great defense, may have a good defense. We don't know if there is anything as called a great defense anymore. They are still developing in their scheme with Mitchell Trubisky. Will he take the steps required for them to really go ahead and win that division? And then on the Green Bay side, listen, they've got Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, the defense can be had. CJ Beathard just put 30 points on them. There's injury risk all over the place for Green Bay skill positions. So, you know, we can understand that. And with Detroit, they are now kind of a game behind, but they are in essence analogous to the Browns in the AFC North, where they may be exciting at times. They may be a tough out at home, but neither one of us thinks they're going to go ahead and actually win the division. So, but it is an interesting call as we go down the road. The AFC North and the NFC North, I think, are going to be very competitive, tough divisions where they beat each other up for the next 2 months. Hey, Scotty, we have, I know we're going to go into our waiver wires after the commercial break. But the first thing I wanted to mention here, there was one piece of news that we didn't get to yesterday because it broke yesterday, to be quite honest. And it's not the injury stuff that we went over, but if you remember, we've been talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? We've been talking about how much we like the under on that team now that Fitzmagic is over. We've been talking about how much we like Jameis Winston and parts of that passing game. But a big piece of the reason why is because we think their defense forces them into shootouts, right? We know that their defense gives it up in that back end. We have been targeting the Tampa Bay defense. We've even been talking about, Scotty, Dirk Cutter potentially as the first coach to be fired. You can get those kind of odds in certain books. So we're close, because the first firing of the year does in fact happen in Tampa Bay, but it is not the head coach. It is defensive coordinator Mike Smith. The Bucs are giving up a worst 34.6 points per game in the NFL after 6 weeks, 5 games for them. So they go ahead and fire their defensive coordinator, Mike Smith. What do you think of this move, Scott?
Yeah, well, I think it's obviously necessary. They're on a historic pace right now. So, you know, somebody's got to take the fall for it, and the right guy did take the fall for it.
Interesting. So you say it's obviously the right move. I guess here's my thing, Scotty. I believe, listen, clearly he's got the worst defense in the NFL, right? So if any defensive coordinator should be fired, it should be him. I guess, like, when you say it's the right move, the one pushback I have is I'm never really – generally speaking, I'm anti midseason firings, Scott. So talk to me about, like, what do you think actually changes now in the middle of the season? They have a new defensive coordinator, but I think it's like the current linebackers coach that's coming in. So what do you think actually changes? Like, all of a sudden, like, I don't think they're switching schemes in the middle of the year. You know what I mean? They have the personnel that they have. So what do you think actually changes? Like, all of a sudden this weekend, do I start not targeting them in DFS? Like, what actually changes here, Scott?
Well, I wouldn't say that the schemes don't change. You know, we don't know that that's not going to happen. But in the meantime, I think you continue to target it because of the personnel. But it's a new beginning here. And if the, you know, if this new coach really doesn't have much of a record, shows that he can turn things around to at least where they're decent, you know, they want to move in a new direction. They have to do it now, you know, because – if they keep playing like this, and you know, if the coach, the defense coordinator's message is not getting through, they have to. They just can't let him linger around. You know, if this guy is the reason, they got to get rid of him.
Yep, fair enough. I mean, I guess my question is, Scott, let's say they do want to change schemes. How long does that take, though, Scott? You know, I mean, like, they can't just go, you know, I think about training camp. It takes a long time for these players to digest the playbook, right? So to kind of switch mid-scheme, doesn't it take time for them to learn it? It's not like you could just install it in a week. I understand, like, maybe they might switch schemes, but it's not like they're going to have a new front. They're not moving from a too high to a single high safety. They're not moving from a 4-3 to a 3-4 in 1 week. They're not installing that all in practice today, right? Doesn't it take time?
Well, still, though, he might make changes in personnel, in the lineup, and, you know, things like that. You know, he might change certain schemes in certain situations. Not a major overhaul, but the alternative is to stick with what's not working, and I don't think you do that.
All right, so we'll see what happens when they host the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mania, if they look any better on Sunday. Scotty, when we come back, we talk waiver wire targets for week 7 and beyond. It's Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boo!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
What's the most important thing you can do today?
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, we You're talking about Monday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers win 33-30. And by the way, Scotty, I had the Packers in a lot of places in my survivor pools, including the big survivor pool that I'm still in, where the grand prize is over $5,000. I am now 2 of 37 entries that are still left, Scotty. 2 out of 37 for over 5K. And in both of those entries, I had the Green Bay Packers this week. So as you can imagine, I was sweating it out a little bit. But I survive in advance. That's the name of the game.
Yeah, that's certainly the name of the game. the Packers were the most popular stream of the week defensively.
Yeah, and deservedly so, you would think, going into it. But C.J. Beathard, honestly, Scott, he puts up a representative effort. You know, 16 to 23, 245, 2 touchdowns, only 1 interception, but was moving the ball between the 20s better than I thought the San Francisco 49ers would. A lot of people did stream that defense. But C.J. Beathard, you know, he looked all right. What's your outlook on him moving forward? I saw someone on Twitter saying C.J. Beathard was going to be this year's Case Keenum. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch because he doesn't have Diggs and Thielen as weapons, you know, like on the 49ers. But what do you think about Beathard on his outlook? Could his arrow be trending up?
I think, the Keenum comparison, which I saw too, was interesting because that's the kind of guy where, like, journeyman type might play over his head, but the fantasy stats have actually been a little bit better than Keenum so far. He barely missed 300 yards in his first start, then went over 300, and he's thrown 2 TD passes in every game. Right now, strip the name off the back of the jersey. Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Russell Wilson, or would you rather have C.J. Beathard? They're rushing for about the same amount of yardage every week. C.J. Beathard's got two games out of three where he's thrown for 300. Russell Wilson hasn't thrown for 300 yards yet.
Yeah, and the other thing, remember, we made the point last week, I think I mentioned it, something that, like, Seattle is running the ball 57% of the time and throwing the ball 43% of the time, and that continued, honestly, in their game in London. Look at it. Scotty, Russell Wilson had 23 attempts, right? And as I look at the rushing attempts for Seattle, Carson with 14, Penny had an extra 9, so that's 23. Davis had 6, so that's 29. Russell himself had 6, so that's 35. Lockett and Moore each had 1, so that's 37. They ran the ball 37 times and threw the ball 23. So it continued that run-pass balance for Seattle. So I hear you. You want someone that's going to be, you know, volume. You know, you want some opportunity there. So that makes sense to me. So let me spin it forward here because we're going to talk in this segment.
Beathard has 114 attempts in 3 starts so far. He had 37 and 54 in his first 2 starts.
All right, so let me ask you this. You got C.J. Beathard out there. I'm going to throw out 3 other names that as I look, and when I give these percentages, yes, Scott, we're talking about some of these public leagues that are out there. So let me ask you this. You're talking about C.J. Beathard, who is, you know, likely out there. You could grab him if you want. How would you rank him among these 3 other quarterbacks? I think the answer is clear, the top one, but I'm interested to hear the other 2. First of all, Scott, as I look at these public leagues, Jameis Winston is owned in 58% of leagues, which means in 40% of leagues, you can still go out and get Jameis. How many times do I have to tell people, Scotty, that Jameis Winston is going to be a great volume ad for the rest of the season? Do you agree?
I think most people really got it after what happened this past week.
All right, so we would think about that. So let's set Jameis aside. How would you rank C.J. Beathard as per these other 2 names that I think you can have out there that are under 30% owned? C.J. Beathard, Mitchell Trubisky, and our guy Brock Osweiler.
I think I'd go Trubisky, Beathard, and I wouldn't bother with Osweiler based on 1 game. But, you know, Trubisky is, you know, he's throwing, you know, he's already had a 6-touchdown game. And,
yeah,
you know, you look at the game log the last 2 games. He was over 300 this week with 3 touchdowns. I think Trubisky's got a little bit more upside than Beathard. You know, when I do my in-season ranks later today on rotoexperts.com, I gotta start pushing Trubisky up.
Okay. They host the New England Patriots coming up here in week 7. I know the Patriots defense is not something to really worry about, but do you think that game flow is going to be any different, any weirder? It's this kind of idea of like what we think is a good defense versus what we think is a good offense. I'm reminded when we saw Jacksonville and Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. Do you think this Chicago New England game would be any different than that Jacksonville Kansas City game a week ago? Do you think the Bears defense has a better shot of slowing down one of these high octane offenses in New England?
No. Okay. Yeah, New England's seen everything over the years. Brady and Belichick have seen everything over the years. And a team that just let Brock Osweiler, you know, do what he did is not going to stop Tom Brady. You know, if they were facing somebody different, I could say they come back with pride. And game flow is going to be good for Trubisky either way, because he'll either slug it out with Brady or he'll play catch up.
All right, let's look at the running backs here, for example. Like, for example, Scotty, we were talking about Raheem Mostert, right, and how that is potentially someone you may want to look to. We got to find out about Alfred Morris as well. So let's compare Mostert vis-a-vis some of these other running backs that I see as very heavily added in public leagues. The number one most heavily added running back that I see, Scotty, only 27% owned, so you can get him, is Marlon Mack out there in Indianapolis. So would you rather have Mostert or would you rather have Marlon Mack?
I'd rather have Marlon Mack. I know he's more guaranteed the touches.
Okay. What about down in Tampa Bay? Peyton Barber is owned in 33% of leagues. Would you rather Peyton Barber or Raheem Mostert?
Raheem Mostert. I want no part of Peyton Barber. Last week was a mirage.
Last week was a mirage. You still believe they're going over to – well, couldn't you say that
I don't think there's any running back that I want a part of in Tampa Bay.
Okay, so you're staying away from the Tampa Bay run game entirely because, I mean, that furthers the point we were talking about as it related to Jameis Winston, right? We think Jameis Winston's throwing the ball. We like guys like O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate having potential even. So it sounds like you're being consistent in the narrative. You think the Bucs are going to be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a corollary. It's kind of similar, in my opinion. It's similar to say like, it's similar to Houston, maybe, right? Where there's no running game to speak of. You know they're going to be throwing up and having a volume kind of passing game, or maybe similar to Indianapolis, right, where Andrew Luck is going to put the ball up a lot. We don't have much faith in this offensive line. They're going to be a pass first, a pass focused offense. Would that be fair to say?
Probably not with the Indianapolis comparison, because I would want to have Marlon Mack maybe as a backup, and Nyheim Hines, considering him for my flex, I think he's rosterable.
I'm not talking about the individual players, Scott. I'm talking about the indicators and the conditions of an offense, not the individual players. I'm talking about a Tampa offense because of a lack of a general run game and being a volume passing game, generally, not the individual players.
Well, I have to break it down to the individual players because there are guys that, you know, are relevant in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is not a great running game, but I think they can respectably run the ball and, you know, have a pass receiving back, whereas I just don't see that in Tampa Bay whatsoever.
All right, what about in Houston? Would you believe the Tampa Bay-Houston analogy?
Again, I got to go to the individual players there. Lamar Miller is at least ownable. We know that Deontay Foreman's not coming back, but, you know, that's a running game where I think – with Tampa Bay, it's like, I don't want any part of it. With Houston, okay, I'll take the guys as backups.
Okay, fair enough. Another name that is out there, Scott, I mean, listen, we have had concerns about Dalvin Cook for a long time. Lat Murray stepped in last week with 155 yards and a touchdown. He's owned in right around 50% of leagues. Raheem Mostert or Lat Murray?
I'd have to reluctantly go Lat Murray there. You check out my new advanced scout on rotoexperts.com right now. It's posted, free for you to read. And I say pump the brakes on Lat Murray, though, because last week might have been an aberration. Before last week, he had not had more 42 rushing yards in a game. So don't overbid on Lat Murray with your fab this week.
Right, but wasn't part of Lat Murray's production based on the fact that Dalvin Cook wasn't there at all? And are we not concerned that Dalvin Cook is can continue to miss some time? I mean, these other games where Lat Murray, like you said, he hasn't gone over 42 yards in other games. There was Dalvin Cook in there in some of these other games.
Dalvin Cook got there in some of those other games, and he didn't do anything.
Fair enough. You know, I hear you. You know, I mean, this idea of like when they lost to Buffalo, they put up 6 points. You know, I mean, in these other games, I mean, they're putting up 31, 23, 27 points. So you're off Lat Murray. You would rather have you said reluctantly Lat Murray or reluctantly Raheem Mostert?
Reluctantly Lat Murray.
Okay.
At least I know volume is going to be there. I don't know with Mostert. You know, he could go be back to being a number three next week, or it could be a three-man timeshare. I just don't know right now.
All right, a couple of other running back names that I want to throw out there for you. With the Jets, there's Bilal Powell that's available in many leagues. Now, I know Isaiah Crowell is sort of becoming this lead dog a little bit. I mean, he had the franchise record outing a couple of weeks ago, but honestly, Bilal Powell is still the quote-unquote starter. I know, Scott, that only means he's in for the first play of the game, but Bilal Powell is getting some action. What about him? What about Capri Bibbs that may be out there? I personally don't believe in this Washington game, especially because Adrian Peterson is going to grit it out. You've talked about guys like Ito Smith in Atlanta as well, with Tevin Coleman not really doing so much with his opportunity. Any of those guys you would throw in this mix at the running back waiver wire?
Who's the first one you mentioned again?
Boom, boom, Bilal, pal, pal.
Yeah, in a lot of competitive leagues, I think Powell's already gone off the waiver wire in a public league. I think you take him as a backup, but there's absolutely no ceiling for there's no upside for Bilal Powell, it seems, fantasy-wise right now. If somebody's going to put up the big numbers in the backfield, it's going to be Isaiah Crowell, although he's completely inconsistent. Ito Smith really hasn't got it done with Devonta Freeman out either. So, you know, none of these guys are, you know, the guy that I'm recommending that people pick up, and you can see it on rotoexperts.com this morning, is Nick Chubb. Carlos Hyde has 12 PPR points in the last two games right now. And there were Hugh Jackson saying he needs to get Chubb more carries, whether it's by injury or just more opportunity because of the way Hyde is playing. I think you got to pick up Nick Chubb. And I think Rashad Penny, is back on the waiver radar if in a deeper league or somewhere where you can stash, because I really believe, you know, that the Seahawks are really committed to this run game and that they've been using Mike Davis and Chris Carson because Penny's been disappointing fundamentally. But Penny ran well this past week. I believe ultimately with the draft capital they spent, they invested in Rashad Penny. I don't think we've seen the last of Penny here. It reinstilled my faith in him to see him get 11 touches this past week.
Yeah, and as you know, Scotty, over time, these rookies, you know, the all other things being equal, you know, these rookies usually towards the end of the season start to grow in their opportunity. Rashad Penny would fit that bill. So would Nick Chubb, even though he only got 3 carries in the last couple of weeks, you know, 3 carries and 3 carries. But and then also, don't forget about Ronald Jones. You know, I know you want no part of the Tampa Bay running offense, but I'm just saying, again, not again the individual players, but zooming out to the trends, this idea of the rookie running backs growing in their opportunity over time. So those are definitely some names to note. A lot of names out there, so go check them in your league. The King recommending Nick Chubb, and talking about of these other guys that I threw out, that Marlon Mack, at least he thinks he is the lead dog of a timeshare over there in Indianapolis. We talked about the wide receivers a little bit, Scotty. I mean, you know, we talked about Sanu. We said Robbie Anderson. We said Marquise Goodwin. What about Chester Rogers, Scott? What about Chester Rogers out there in Indianapolis? Like, here's my thing. I have no idea when T.Y. Hilton is coming back, Scott. I have no idea if Ryan Grant is coming back. I have no idea if Jack Doyle is a part of this, passing game anymore. I don't know how long Nyheim Hines, if at all, is going to be in the doghouse after dropping an end zone reception. What about a guy like Chester Rogers?
Yeah, Chester Rogers should have been picked up already if you were ahead of the curve. He had 2 8 reception games consecutive coming into last week, and then last week he catches the touchdown. Luck spreading the ball around, but he's certainly looking in Rogers' direction a lot, so he's a really nice pickup.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to throw some other names out there, guys that are heavily added that I'm seeing. Listen, do you believe in Cole Beasley's game? Do you believe in the game that Cole Beasley had last week? I mean, 11 targets, 9 catches, 101 yards, the 2 touchdowns. I know the 2 touchdowns are probably not going to happen, but listen, someone's got to be the main wide receiver in Dallas. And, you know, Dak probably has more trust in Cole Beasley than most others. Would you take a shot on Beasley now? They're at Washington. Then they have a bye coming up. How do you feel about Cole?
Well, I certainly wouldn't use him this week when you consider that that Dallas has only scored 70 points on the road and they faced Washington's fifth-ranked pass defense. Colt Beasley.
Yeah, but what was Jacksonville's pass defense? This was against Jacksonville last week. He put up 31 points.
Yeah, but Dallas is a different team on the road than they are at home. You know, they're 0-3 on the road. They play much, much differently on the road. You know, we've seen it so far. And secondly, I can't overreact to Cole Beasley based on one game. Before last week, I'd like to know the last time that he went over 70 yards.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's you know, he's usually that kind of inside slot two-way kind of go. But if you're in a PPR kind of format, you know, I mean, he might be the heavily targeted guy. Another guy that I want to bring up and get your take on real quick here, Scotty. I mean, I've been saying this guy for a couple weeks. I've been saying there may be chemistry with him, the new rookie quarterback that is there. I'm talking about Christian Kirk in Arizona. What do you think about Kirk? Do you think he may have any chemistry building with the Rosen one?
Yeah, I think so. Christian Kirk has put together three solid performances in a row, and it's obvious that him and, you know, the first one was even without Rosen. So, you know, it's not just about chemistry. He's really stepping forward as this team's number one wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald banged up. I don't know how much age is really playing a part in this, but he could be falling off a cliff a la Brandon Marshall. It's at some point, you know, every receiver is going to decline, but you're talking about a guy right now. In his three of his last four games, he's scored at least 13.5 fantasy points.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an explosive dude, you know, a punt returner kind of type. I remember him at Texas A&M. There is definitely some potential with him. All right, Scotty, here's what we got to do. We got to go pay the bills, all right? But when we come back here on Roto Experts in the morning, we're going to open up the phone lines. So if you want to join the show as we put the fun in functional sports content, the number to call is 844-843-6879. Scotty, when we come back, I'll bounce off a couple wide receivers that are on my radar for the waiver wire. We'll look at the tight ends, and we'll answer your calls as well. Holler at us at 844-843-6879. It's the Spitting Statistician and El Rey de Fantasia, Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network with our guy Chris Bavona, the manimal in the fantasy pit of misery. Good looks in that boom, boom, bilal, pow, pow. That's my man, Chris Bavona, the best in the business. Check out more of it when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. It's Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel. We're going to go to the phone lines. I hear we got a caller or two. But Scotty, before we do that, I got to let people know that if they enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with the professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can get a 50% deposit bonus. No more dealing with the late lineup scratches. No more experts to compete against. Just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and start using your matchups with the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code today and start winning. Scotty, one last wide receiver. I know we got a phone call. One last wide receiver I wanted to get your thought on, because I was surprised that in public leagues he was only owned in 20% of them. He's had a great last couple of weeks. I don't know if this is tied to the awakening of Mitch Trubisky. But what about Taylor Gabriel? Taylor Gabriel's at 24%. He's had big-time weeks the last couple, and it seems like they are trying to get him the ball in space. They're scheming for him. What about Taylor Gabriel?
Yeah, he's like a Deshaun Jackson type in my estimate.
Right.
That, you know, the big weeks are going to be big, but I think there's going to be some stinkers because I don't think that the Bears can keep up this type of offensive juggernaut like every single week. But I think you definitely got to pick him up, and he's already in wide receiver four territory.
Okay, remember, wasn't Anthony Miller, their rookie wide receiver out of Memphis, wasn't he banged up for the last couple of weeks?
No, he played last week. He scored a touchdown. Yeah.
So he did come back last week because I know he missed 1 week in there. Okay, I was wondering if Taylor Gabriel's opportunity was tied to Anthony Miller at all. Do you think that, or is it independent value?
I think, you know, after this week, I think there's some more independent value there. Anthony Miller is, you know, he's still learning the NFL game and now a little bit of a setback with an injury.
Yeah, fair enough. And listen, there's other options there. Remember, Allen Robinson getting into the end zone. Trey Burton getting into the end zone. Tariq Cohen out of the backfield. Jordan Howard still a little bit of a volume play. So all of a sudden, there is mouth to feed in Chicago for this Matt Nagy offense. We got a caller on the line, Scotty. Dom is in Queens, and he's on Roto Experts in the morning. How you doing this morning, Dom?
What's up, brother?
Dom going once. Dom apparently is no longer with us. That's unfortunate. If you want to get back down with us, Dom, or anybody else, the number to call is 844-843-6879. We'll be happy to take your call in this segment and help you guys win or get ready for week 7 and beyond in fantasy football. All right, Scotty, let's go to tight end position then. I think, listen, I'm going to throw out five names, okay, that are hovering between in public leagues that are between 40 and 60. 66% owned at the highest level. So guys that maybe are at the level that you need to be checking for. I'm going to give five names, and I want to hear how you would rank them. I think I know who would be your top one. But let's play this out. First of all, out of the Tampa Bay tight ends, who do you lean towards, O.J. Howard or Cameron Brate?
I'm going with O.J. Howard. You know, it's you know, the numbers are there. I think he scored in two of his last three. Jameis Winston seems to be locking onto him more last week than he even did last year. This guy came out with a great pedigree as the top tight end in last year's class, combination of blocking and receiving, and it looks like he's on his way to a breakout year. But you know, even if there's not the ceiling, you know, this guy, people are should be all over him in free agency right now, owned in less than 35% of ESPN leagues right now, and with the thin tight end position in fantasy football and a lot of volume in Tampa Bay, you got to pick him up.
All right, there you have it. You definitely got to go out and grab yourself some O.J. Howard if he is still available in your league. So that's the context, okay, because we got O.J. Howard and you got, you know, Cameron Brate. So let me ask you this for these other three tight ends, if you put them above O.J. Howard, in between O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, or below both of them. The first tight end I'm going to ask you about is Cincinnati C.J. Uzma.
Yeah, we saw I was an encouraging performance from Uzma last week because usually, you know, you're looking at him in a red zone target as with many of the Cincinnati tight ends, but he had 11 PPR fantasy points without scoring a touchdown. So I think that's encouraging. I think a lot of people have not locked on to him yet, and they should.
Okay, so would you rather have Howard or Uzma?
I'd rather have Howard. There's more upside there, but I do like Uzma. You know, I own him in a few leagues.
Would you have, and you would take him over Brate, is that correct?
Yes.
Actually, okay, fair enough. We're trying to build the rankings.
In one league, I have both Uzma and Howard, so I feel happy there.
There you go. And just for context, again, when you were talking O.J. Howard, you said, and you know, it's interesting. We talk about, you know, when I'm throwing out percentages, Scott, you're saying like in the public leagues and you're talking about more competitive leagues and things like that. With O.J. Howard, interestingly enough, I think you mentioned an ESPN, his ownership percentage was in the 30s. Is that right?
Yeah, you like in a lot of those public leagues, he's available. And I think in a lot of competitive leagues, he's available in a few of them too because people may have cut him because he was injured, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, over on the Yahoo where I'm looking at, he's owned in 55% of leagues.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting.
It's still available in 45% of those public leagues. Yeah, so you got to go get him.
That's what I'm saying. In terms of the context with the stats you give out, like what is more competitive than others, I think it's, you know, this frame, it's just a frame of reference.
Right. If you're playing in leagues with I'm not saying just guys like us, though. A lot of our listeners play in leagues where guys like Mohamed Sanu will not be available. But I think, you know, looking at my own leagues, and I play not only like the expert leagues, but I play in some leagues with, you know, just some, you know, friends of mine, things like that, but they're highly more competitive. Mohamed Sanu may not be available, but O.J. Howard will.
All right, fair enough. And then there are two tight ends that I think right now it sounds like you are ranking O.J. Howard, then Uzma, then Cameron Brate. These two tight ends that I'm going to name are higher ownership percentages, but still worth a look, and I think you'd have them over even O.J. Howard. The first is your guy in Atlanta, Austin Hooper, especially if Ridley is banged up, Sanu is banged up, Freeman is banged up. Listen, Austin Hooper has had a great stretch right here, Scotty. You got to go grab him if you can, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I said this might be Hooper's breakout year. And the one thing I do get concerned about, though, is like sometimes those four-target games, but they're throwing the ball so much that you got to pick him up. I would probably rank him third behind Howard and Uzuma.
Oh, you would rank Hooper behind Uzuma and Howard. I thought you would rather pick up Hooper ahead of even O.J. Howard.
No, O.J. Howard's got way too much upside.
I see. So you're going – so that's surprising to me. You're going
like
right now –
I like all three of them.
So right now, you're okay with going to grab, but in this order, Howard, Uzuma, and then Hooper. Is that correct?
Right. I believe there's going to be more targets for Uzuma than there is for Hooper.
Okay, fair enough. And then one more tight end to throw into this mix. I want to see where he fits in. You know how I feel about this guy. I was early on this guy. We go to Pittsburgh. What about Vance McDonald, Scotty?
Yeah, I like him too. Especially like watching him, you know, when he throws people off.
Yeah, and once he gets the ball,
entertainment factor is very high. He easily ranks number one. You know, sometimes Jesse James is going to cut into his production. So you got four strong tight ends you can pick up this week. But I would say in highly competitive leagues, he's not available.
Fair enough. But like, you got to go check, right?
You have to. Yes,
one way or the other to see. No, absolutely. So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty, it sounds like you are ranking them Vance McDonald 1, O.J. Howard 2, C.J. Uzuma 3, Austin Hooper 4 in terms of your priorities of tight ends to go out and grab.
Yes.
All right. Can I throw one more out there? I don't think he's above those four, but someone similar to Christian Kirk, I'm wondering if he's got any potential bonding with the new quarterback there. What about our guy RSJ out there in Arizona? He's only available in, you know, 70% of leagues still.
Yeah, I would say I probably avoid him. I play wait and see in one decent game.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to get sucked into this Jared Cook type thing with RSJ.
With RSJ, if these guys that we are talking about, though, Scotty, let's say, you know, Uzma's gone, Vance is gone, Hooper is gone, right? And all that's left there is a choice between RSJ and Cameron Brate. If that's the choice that you are faced with because, you know, you got a tight end on a bye or something like that, where would you go, RSJ or Cameron Brate?
Cameron Brate. He's still going to get looks in the red zone.
Interesting, because I would think, you know, Cameron Brate, another point, though, is the fact that O.J. Howard is, you know, kind of eating into his opportunity, and there is no such threat like that in Arizona with RSJ. We just talked about, you just mentioned when we talked Christian Kirk, how Larry Fitzgerald is banged up on the decline. Couldn't an argument be made that Christian Kirk and RSJ are the two prime targets there in Arizona?
I'm not going to do that off of one game with RSJ. There's one guy I want to own in Arizona, and that's Christian Kirk. If you want to go ahead and cut Larry Fitzgerald.
Really?
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay, and I mean, we're talking about the passing game. Obviously, we're still owning David Johnson, correct?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So wait,
although he hasn't been used as much in receiving game as we've hoped.
Fair enough. That is true. So let me ask you this. I don't want to bury the lead here. Are you saying that you're okay dropping Larry Fitzgerald now?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's after 6 weeks, you know, you got to start stripping the names off the back of the jersey. You know, Keenan Allen's no longer wide receiver one. You know, the guy hasn't scored since week one. And you can look at the other numbers. They're not impressive. And with Larry Fitzgerald right now, especially with bye weeks, you know, if you got to do it, go ahead and do it. You can't sit here and worry about, whoa, what if he rebounds and then I cut him? You know, you can't sit here and be concerned about that. The guy's not producing. You're not going to get anything for him in a trade. You're not going to put him in your starting lineup. And you know, sometimes you want to stash certain guys. You know, you want to stash a Nick Chubb. If I had good wide receiver depth, four other good wide receivers, and I needed running back help, and I had to cut Larry Fitzgerald to pick up Nick Chubb, I would do it.
Okay.
And you know what? As far as Keenan Allen goes, and I say this morning in my advanced scout on rotoexperts.com, there's probably a lot of people still thinking of Keenan Allen as a wide receiver one, where he's not. He's starting to tumble into wide receiver three territory. You know, he's just continued to fall down the fantasy stairs there. Right now, if I could trade Keenan Allen for Robert Woods, I think I could float that out there and get people to take it. I would do it.
Okay. Who is the best Charger pass catcher to have on a fantasy lineup these days?
Keenan Allen, but you can't trust nobody else.
Okay, so not Mike.
Disappointing.
Where do you have Mike Williams? I know he was like a hot commodity for a couple of weeks there, and then didn't have a big game last week. But where do you have Mike Williams? Is he a flex? Is he still a flex option?
No. He's been quiet for like the last 3 weeks now? It's, you know, he's a boom or bust deep threat. You know, that's it.
Okay, fair enough. So there are definitely some names to think about at every position here for the quarterback. Scotty, who has buys this week? I'm trying to look at the buys because I'm trying to find out who it is that might be, who you may be kind of in a bad spot on in terms of losing people for the buys. And for the last couple of weeks, it was two teams each. You know, that we're on bye. Now we get into this four teams, the Green Bay Packers, the Oakland Raiders, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on a bye, and the Seattle Seahawks, you know. So there's definitely some quarterbacks off the board this week. Russell Wilson, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, and the like, you know. So there's definitely some running backs that you may have been using, the Aaron Jones, the, James Conners of the world, obviously wideouts and tight ends as well. So the byes are going to create some interesting bedfellows, and you may have to even go ahead and drop someone like Larry Fitzgerald. Scotty, what do we got on tap on the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy package? I know tomorrow, what we usually do on a Wednesday, we take the full 2 hours and we start looking at the Week 7 lines. We start looking at your in-season ranks. What else is going to be popping off on rotoexperts.com?
Tuesday and Wednesday are very, very busy days for us. Today we'll have the waiver report, which is very popular from the Fantasy Jesus, yeah. Joe Galena. We'll have Sneaky Plays with Brandon Murchison, the Roto Superstar. The Watch List from Dom Cinerino that's become very popular. Guys that maybe you shouldn't pick up, but that you at least have to put on your watch list. And the Stock Report from Bobby McMahon, who's rising, who's falling, as well as my Associated Press waiver report. And for those who play CFL Fantasy Football, don't forget to head over there today as well. As we're going to have Brandon Williams start sit and his weekly rankings. And we should also have updates from inside injuries on rotoexperts.com today, which is always popular.
CFL Fantasy Football, huh? Can I get myself some Johnny Football, or is that not a
He's available. He's available? Yes.
So that means he's not
a salary cap game. You can use him every week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. And also, don't forget, Scotty, I'm going to be back at it this evening, Fantasy Freestyle, 7 p.m., with the good old Stats Overbeat Cypher there on YouTube. Fire up your questions now. And one of the things we're also going to be looking at, Scotty, is Game of Inches. You know how I do that? My boys over at RotoWare donating the prize for that contest. Scotty, let me ask you, which one of these do you think are worst? I've got two submissions that I think are pretty interesting for Week 6. One of my followers, Hype It Up Productions, lost by 1 point. Had Quincy Inunua, who scored -1 because he fumbled and then was banged out the rest of the game, and his kicker was on Tennessee, who got shut out. I think the worst is Inunua, who wound up with -1, couldn't get back in the game, and this guy lost by 1 point. Or is it my guy Derek Brown, who lost by 0.7, 7/10 of a point, and was facing Devontae Adams, who had that very last extra back shoulder throw to try and get Mason Crosby in for a closer game-winning field goal, which is a tougher loss to you, to lose by less than a point and that last play on Monday Night Football to Devontae Adams, or to lose by one and have one of your players literally put a -1 up with a fumble and then getting injured to miss the rest of the game, which is a worse hashtag
game of inches. Thing is much more painful because you're looking at the score. I think you think Devontae Adams could beat you as soon as the second quarter, and it's right. The timing was bad, but it's something you might have been expecting. Whereas sometimes you review a box score and you get a headache, you get a migraine because the team could have won if not for this. And
Quincy, you could have put a zero up there.
Yeah, Quincy Adu with a negative one is painful, right. And then Ryan Succop with a zero, that's more painful, but you can overcome it, though. I had Ryan Succop in the GST, and I scored over 170 points. And,
of course.
He got a zero. So, kickers can be painful, but to get total of negative one from two players, that's very, very painful.
Yeah, to get a negative one and then to lose by 1 point is really painful. This guy also had Mohamed Sanu in his lineup, who obviously left the game midway through due to injury. Those sort of thing happened, right? But to lose by one and have your guy Anunua in there with minus one, he literally would have won the game if he started a wide receiver that was on a bye week. Instead of Quincy Enunwa, he could have started our guy. It would be so nice, Galladay, on bye, and would have won this matchup instead of Quincy Enunwa, who wound up getting him minus one. Hey, Scotty, we'll be back at it for 2 hours tomorrow, starting to look at week 7. We talked about everything that's going on rotoexperts.com. Get on over there. Enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. Hey, Scotty, you have a great day reveling in all of your fantasy victories. I hope everybody else does as well. If it was a hashtag game of inches, send it to me. I want to see it at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty RotoX. We'll see you tomorrow, Scotty.